people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, I'm Brad Fanshaw.
Hey, Brad Fanshaw.
I'm Brad Fanshaw. I've got to say it like that. It's got to get me going, Matt, because this is the newest edition of Shift and Steer. You see what I'm doing here?
You're pacing around the room.
This is walking and talking, man.
Yeah.
Hey, this is, it keeps me energized, keeps me going. And I'm Brad Fanshaw, as I just said, Shift and Steer, new episode. And right across from me, sitting on his ass, is Motorator.
Andrea, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you? Or are you talking to the audience?
No, everybody.
Okay, because they can't really answer you
everybody.
Back.
I get it.
Hey, I'm going to start the show because, Matt pulled up in a hybrid, in a Lexus hybrid. And I want to just say, I'm looking out the window of the studio here, and I see that sedan sitting out there. It's big. It's swoopy. It's got fenders, front fenders that actually bulge up. They have a crown to them. But that grill... That grill is...
They call it a spindle grill because of the shape. But I can't help but look at it and think of the Predator's mouth when he opens his mouth and it's got the little wings on the side of his mouth kind of thing going on. It looks like that.
I mean, there's hourglass. There is a shape of a woman in the 50s when they pulled their waist. Yeah, Coke bottle. There you go. But it also, you could yank that thing off. And you could put it on a piece of wall like modern art because it's got all that shape and it's pretty cool. It's just, but when you look at the new cars, it's a good example of how, remember how grills used to be kind of small and now they've all, and it seems like they kind of started with some of the Japanese cars years back, and now you're starting to see it. Even like the new Yukons and the GMCs and stuff where they've got these massive grills.
But most of them are blocked. It's a grill, but
it's just for looks.
It's just for looks because they having all that air go through. They don't need it all for the cooling. They just need to focus it on a certain area, and the rest of it needs to.
And then you go to the Teslas, and they're just
The rest they got to push air away because it, it's more for aero, and they're trying to get better aerodynamics for fuel economy.
I was at the Balboa Car Show, a little car show down on Balboa Island in Newport Beach, and a guy pulled in one of the brand new Teslas, the new one,
the small one.
Yeah. And we're all standing there looking at it, and somebody finally said, "Yeah, this is a really cool car, but I'd have to get some vinyl or something and make it look like it's got a grill because it looks like some kind of android that just no face, it's like it's got to have something.
It's too much like." Like Cars of the Future, like in Demolition Man, or something like that.
It doesn't need any air, but it just doesn't.
But
we've gotten so used to it in the styling that you got to have it.
I've seen people do the vinyl and stuff on the front.
Yeah,
yeah.
And speaking of Tesla, did you order your flamethrower yet?
No,
you didn't.
God, don't even get me started on this thing.
Come on,
this
man.
Is another product he doesn't really have, right? He's got two of them.
This dude has. So many products that he doesn't have that he sells and gets the money for. Did you hear how it all came about? Was the hats?
Yeah.
You buy a boring company hat, and if I sell 50,000 this week, then I'll offer the flamethrower. So he sells 50,000 hats in like 3 days. Yeah. I don't even know what he sold them for, but some ungodly amount, way too much. And then you go to the website, and it says, those hats, where are my hats? Well, we're going to be shipping 30,000 next week and then another. Right. So he didn't even have those.
He didn't have the hats.
This guy's got it down. We've got to start pre-selling the podcast, okay? Like tell the listeners, hey, it's going to be $5 to listen. We're going to have a great show next week. Order it now and then we'll put it out next week.
Yeah, except our show is free.
Oh, that's right. Damn.
He made, one or two, and he went around his office, and he shot his flamethrower in the air, and then he pre-sold, $7.5 million.
Yeah, so they went out, they whittled one on the 3D printer, put a propane thing on it, and had one of his engineers make it, and then, hey, this is cool. And somebody said, oh, you should sell those. And he goes, I should.
So Steve Wozniak, the co-founder of Apple back in the day, the chubby, nerdy guy that, seems like
Dancing with the Stars, right?
Seems like a good dude, good old-fashioned nerd. I'm coming from the sort of My background is in the internet web development space.
I'll
for
sit
years
down
years.
So you're not nervous.
Feel
okay.
free to sit down. So he was one of those guys that we always enjoyed like reading about and talking about. And he's in the news now because he's like, I own two Teslas. I like the Tesla car. I don't trust anything Elon Musk said. and that's what I've been saying, like on this show and on CarCast. I'm like, come on, guys, why do we keep buying into this? The Model 3 is super late, and he doesn't have enough money to make them. So he does a big press conference. He's like, check out the new Roadster we're going to make.
And the semi truck.
And the semi truck.
Yeah.
Which you can get in a couple of years. You should pay for them now. So I have money to pay for the Model 3 I sold and I'm late on.
Dude, I mean, you got to give it to the guy. He's a modern-day carny. He's a circus performer. I mean, he's spinning the plates and people are going, woo, look at that. And, I mean, I admire.
Well, look, he's a fantastic marketer.
I'm jealous. I mean, I want to be able to sell something that I don't have and then pay for it later.
I think the thing that rubs me the worst on this whole deal is okay, I get it. You're doing this crowdfunding thing and you're trying to do it on a level unheard of in the billions of dollars, right? You're not like crowdfunding your cooler with the speakers and
right.
You know, like this is a really big thing you're trying to crowdfund, and he's the master. He's the ringmaster, if you will, of this.
And the press is helping him.
But okay, so I get it. We're going to make a new car. We're going to make a Model 3. It's going to be out in whatever, 2018 or something like that. And get your orders in now. And takes everybody's money. Takes hundreds of millions of dollars in. Okay, all right. Let's say we all bought into that. But then he still can't fulfill that promise.
Right.
Right? How late are those cars? How delayed are those cars? You know? It's just
what's – at what point – does the Ponzi scheme? I'm just alleged Ponzi. No, but I mean, at some point, it's like, okay, we got to come up with another. I don't know, we're out of ideas, man. You know, how many cars can we build? How many ideas can we come up with? You know, okay, we came up with the flamethrower. How about a Tesla tank? Do you think people buy a Tesla tank? I mean, you know, it's like
not, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if that's what he does next.
Because you got to keep paying for the last thing, and it just. It's amazing. It's like, I'm jealous. I wish I could, you know, say, hey, we're going to come up with the Model 3 Bond Speed wheels, and we need to sell 50,000 sets before we, you know, start shipping them. I mean,
look, by the way, that's not terrible, because what you're talking about is a set of wheels. You're not saying, give me hundreds of millions of dollars collectively.
Oh, yeah, I am. They're $20,000 a set.
Oh, well, then there you go. Yeah, well... anybody that bought the flamethrower, I don't know if he was joking or not, but he tweeted out and said that everybody that bought one gets a complimentary fire extinguisher.
Oh, no. If you go to their website, it says, we offer a fire extinguisher for a stupid, ridiculous, overpriced cost, but it has a cool, boring company sticker on it. And
I guess it wasn't complimentary, was it?
No, it's not complimentary. How many of those things did they say on the news that he sold?
I don't know, but I...
It was a stupid amount.
Yeah, but last I checked, it was like $7.5 million.
You're going to have people running...
Maybe it's more now.
Running
maybe.
Through the streets, and they're going to use them a couple times and then go, okay, yeah, you know. I mean...
I don't know. I guess like kind of playing that game, like I got the flamethrower, like it's kind of fun.
Well, yeah, it's fun. It's a toy.
You know? But then when you get it, you're like, yeah.
What do I use it for?
We got it.
Oh, I'm going to light the barbecue. Yeah, you don't really have to because it's got a self-starter on it. I know, but I paid $500 for this. I'm going to light the barbecue, you know?
And yeah. Is that how much they were, $500?
Yeah, they were $500. I went on and I looked at all the fine print and it said if you order this, shipping will be added on. If you're ordering from out of the country, just be advised that we may not be able to ship it to you depending on regulations. The other caveat was that prior to shipping, you'll be sent a release that you have to sign, and
right.
You know all kinds of stuff.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Did you buy one?
It was probably I bought three of them. What do you mean, man? You can't. Can you have flamethrower wars if you don't
That's
have
true.
More than one?
That's true. I don't think it's fair that you chase somebody with your flamethrower if they don't have one as well.
I got one. So that I can give it to you and we can have flamethrower wars.
Yeah.
Then I got one for Aaron so that he can distress paint.
That's right. Yeah. That sounds about right. All right, enough Elon Musk stuff. He's going to make me irritated. Back to the Lexus. So this Lexus is the LS500 hybrid. It's the new Lexus sedan.
It's a big car.
Big car, yeah. It's meant to be like a 7 Series or an S-Class Mercedes competitor. And I'll tell you, like, normally I get into these, I'm like, I just don't love the hybrid thing. I don't really need it. I drive like an asshole anyway. Like, I like a little more fun, a little more pep in my step in the car. So I usually just kind of overlook the hybrid stuff. Like, not too long ago, I drove this 7 Series BMW. It was like a 740 plug-in hybrid. And although a beautiful car, I wasn't buying into the hybrid thing at all. It was terrible. And I couldn't, you know, it wouldn't hold the charge, and I had to plug it in, and it was, you know, it was a pain in the ass. You have to sort of like invest in that lifestyle if you're going to do it, right? Like if you have a Tesla or you have a plug-in hybrid or a Chevy Bolt or something, you kind of have to like commit to
I'd forget to plug it in. Yeah. I'd be like, I got to go out and plug in the car. I'll do it later. Yeah. And then the next morning I'd come out, I'd go, oh, crap, I got to drive to L.A., and I didn't plug it in, you know?
Yeah, unless you could train George the dog to do it. Like, you know, that's, I don't know. It's a lifestyle commitment I think you have to do for that type of thing. And it wasn't working on me with the BMW 7 Series. So the Lexus is not a plug-in hybrid. It's a normal hybrid. And they've done such a good job over the years of sort of mastering that hybrid drivetrain, at least from the consumer standpoint. I have no idea on the quality of it, but I like the quality of Lexus cars. I think it's a good car. This thing's very solid. And I'm rolling around in a big, giant sedan getting like 26 miles to the gallon. And then I realized that I've been driving this thing for a week. And
you've never had to put gas in it?
Well, I went to Irvine, and I went to the shop a couple times. Not only did I not put gas in it, I just got down here again, and I'm, like, right at half a tank.
Wow.
And here's the other thing that kind of annoys me on the cars is this start-stop feature.
Oh, I know.
You know,
I
and
hate
it fires
that.
Up the engine. Yeah. It doesn't fire up the engine. If you remember back, we talked about the Acura NSX, and I said, hey, that's an EV. But what I loved about it was I didn't mind the start-stop feature because every time it turned off the gas engine, it was still in EV mode. So when you let your foot off the brake, you can creep forward in EV mode. It doesn't have to fire up the engine and pause for a second, do the whole thing. And it was seamless. So it took sort of the anxiety out of firing up the engine and shutting it down and firing up and shutting it down. And it made it much more pleasant to drive. This Lexus hybrid is the same way. It'll put itself in EV mode at the light and it shuts the motor down. And when I'm at the light, the electric motors start to move it forward. And if I hammer the gas, like I do at pretty much every light, then you can hear the gas engine fire on. But I don't have to sit at the light and wait a second for it to fire up and do its thing, you know? So that is cool. That part I like. The miles per gallon on that car, I do like. We're getting it, you know, it used to be like, hey, man, the V8 big sedan's got 18 miles to the gallon, and the hybrids were getting 22, you know, maybe 23. Well, now they're getting 26, 27.
They're starting to figure this shit out.
And I'm telling you, like, if you didn't drive it like me, if you were focused on mileage and you tried to hyper-mile it and use EV mode a little bit more and this and that, I bet you can get in the 28 range on that thing. So, and it's good. And it's still pretty quick. I want to say it's like 0 to 60 in 5 seconds, somewhere around that range for the hybrid.
Well, it's a big car anyway. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Now, you can get the twin turbo 6-cylinder without hybrid, which is probably a lot lighter, no batteries and electric motors. And I think it drops the 0 to 60 down in the mid-4 ranges, 4-6 or something. So this is about a half a second slower.
And you'll get 18 miles to a gallon.
Yeah. And it'd probably be the one that I'd buy because I want that extra half a second. But this, I was – even on the way here, I was like, you know what? You might – be able to convince me to get like a big sedan hybrid one day. That would be the one to do. And I know as we move along, we're going to get into some cool stuff. Like I haven't driven the new Panamera hybrid, the Porsche Panamera hybrid. By the way, they have a Porsche Panamera Turbo S hybrid, and it's the highest horsepower vehicle in their whole lineup of cars.
Really?
Yeah. Because the combination of electric motors and gas motors, it's like 600 and something horsepower.
That's cool.
And like a Turbo S or something is like 550 horsepower.
But so the Turbo S is faster, though.
The Turbo S is faster, although I don't think that the hybrid Panamera is slow.
No, it's not slow by any means. But it's one of those things.
They're going to have their all electric car come out. It's an all electric sedan that's going to come out. It doesn't look exactly like a Panamera. You know, it's got a little bit of the concept cars with the swoopy fenders has a little bit of Fisker Karma in it. So it's interesting. But anyway, I like this car, and you haven't, I just rolled up in it. You haven't gone out to go and see it. The interior is gorgeous. They designed it. They put some real kind of thought in the design of it.
Well, from the window here, I will say that the leather appears to be quite light.
Yes.
And I think the first time George the dog jumped in there, there'd be paw prints everywhere.
There would be paw prints in there for sure. Now, that has sort of a tan seat, but the dash is done in a dark brown with contrast stitching.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the design elements of kind of like these metal trim. Almost think of like the bed of a nicely done, pickup truck with the wood, but the aluminum.
Yeah,
the slats in the middle.
The
strips. The dash is kind of done like that. And it's cool because they go through the AC vent, but those strips don't move. But you can still move the AC vent like behind it. It's kind of
How those engineers come up with that.
I'm telling you, it's cool. And then there's this cool design element on the door that kind of like a gradient, but it's sort of like a pattern that goes around.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I'll things
check
light
it out
up,
when we're
it's,
done.
It's
here.
Actually pretty nice. And of course, the best feature, the massaging seats.
The massaging seat.
And Lexus.
Shiatsu?
Like, I don't know the story on it, but a friend of mine that does like the education programs, dealer training stuff.
Okay.
She like teaches those programs. And she was telling me before I got it, because she's like, oh, I just did the education thing on the new LS, and Lexus brought in like these masseuses, and they asked them all these questions and had them as consultants for the massaging chairs. Like, up to this point, the massaging chairs in most cars, they're cool, but they're more like a watered down Brookstone chair like you'd find in the mall.
Oh, so it's like putting a quarter in the vibrating bed at the Motel 6?
Exactly like that. Or you're at the car wash, like the car wash by my house. And
I don't know. I was in a Rolls Royce that had a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this one really kind of feels like two little thumbs in there. And
we're not going to find out someday that they have actually sewn people into that.
There's
right?
like a little Korean woman in
exactly.
that
Exactly. She's
right
in
now.
There.
Yeah. I don't know what she eats or how she lives, but it's in there. And
See, it's not really a hybrid. When you plug it in, it's actually feeding her intravenously.
So the seats are fantastic. The massaging seats are fantastic. And my ass could not be any more relaxed.
I knew she kind of walked in, kind of
relaxed.
It
took an hour to drive here. And it was nice. It was a nice little.
Thought maybe you had sex last night because you just looked so relaxed and everything.
No.
I was like,
just the,
well,
just
Matt
the
had
seat.
A big date, you know?
Just the LS seats.
So,
yeah. But you didn't see the way. The whole way here, I drove completely naked.
That's I don't
I
need
only,
to see that.
I only massage at
you
the
I thought you didn't. When you got out, I went, what's he doing? I thought, well, he doesn't want to get the interior dirty.
That's right.
And, you know.
That's right.
And
also, I only massage in the buff.
Yes.
That's the way it works.
That's horrible. So if you see Matt driving around L.A., don't look. Especially if you're a truck driver.
He looks very relaxed. And he's completely naked. And, because they, I'd probably tint
especially if it's towards the end of the massage. Yeah. Just don't want to. You should get tinted windows.
I should tint the windows, but it's a press car. They wouldn't let me do it. This one is technically a pre-production prototype, so I don't have the window sticker on it. But I want to say the LSs have always been somewhere in the 80 to 100 something range.
You know what I like to do with pre-production prototypes is drift them.
Yeah.
We should go out after the show and drift it.
In EV mode or
I don't care. Well, let's just get that sucker sideways and just see. Well, then we can evaluate it. So, hey.
I opened the hood. There was nothing to see.
There's nothing to see. It's just plastic, right?
Yeah. A lot of plastic.
That's how they all are. Hey, the 2018 Motorsports Hall of Fame of America did its inductees. They name their inductees for this year. And, you know, I always kind of check it out to see who's in there. And it was pretty interesting, you know.
Wait, put your glasses on.
I'm putting on my glasses so I can read a name because it's so unfamiliar to me. Jeff Gordon, I guess he's some kind of race car driver or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess he races rowdy round cars. They call them NASCAR.
Lefties?
Yeah. Jeff Gordon, so he's
nice.
Probably the most notable. But then they have a few other guys like Carl G. Fisher. You familiar with him?
No.
No? Come on, you don't know that mug right there?
Oh, look at that guy.
Yeah. He looks like Matt with spectacles on. He's not, they even say, he's not a household name, but a legacy with Indianapolis Motor Speedway. That he was like a promoter, you know, back in the early days. And when I say early days, we're talking like 1911 to 1930s. Yeah. And
bet Jay Leno knows who he is.
Yeah, exactly. He was pretty instrumental in Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Then, of course, Jeff Gordon, we all know that guy. And I thought he was a sportscaster. You know, I see him on there, but I guess he raced too. And we have, now this name you probably do name, Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
Howard Hughes, they're inducting him. What took so frickin' long? I mean, they're just now inducting him into the Motorsports Hall of Fame. I mean, that guy had a lot to do with all kinds of motorsports, and they're just now putting him in there. How about Flying Fred Merkel? You seriously don't know that name?
No.
Motorcycles?
No, I'm not really that much of a motorcycle guy.
He was, like an AMA Superbike Series guy, and I guess maybe in the 80s I remembered his name because it was 84 to 86. And he was a Superbike world champion and, you know, really well known. Then another guy that I'd never heard before, Eugene Pat Patrick. And I guess he was an oil man who turned IndyCar driver and Patrick Racing. And in the 70s, had Fittipaldi drive for him, Gordon Johncock. And so, you know, he's a big, owner. And then a guy named Bob Talias. I hope I've got that right. But he was a sports car racer and owner of legendary Group 44 team, it says. He earned 2 Trans Am championships, 4 SCCA championships, and often played David to the Goliath, the big money factory back teams, and he would go out and beat them. And those were some names. But the one that really caught my eye was somebody that I knew, and it was Little John Butera.
Yeah.
So they brought Little John in this year, and they said known mostly to drag racing fans because of his success with dragsters, funny cars, and pro stockers that were raced by like Don Prudhomme, Tom the Snake, Tom Mongoose McEwen, Danny Angais, and Don Schumacher. I mean, he was known. And if you look on some of those old vintage, it says Little John built.
Yeah.
And he was, the thing about John was that he was so prolific in everything that he did. When he was in drag racing, he built the best cars, the best chassis, the best, they went out and won everything. He still holds the record, I understand, for the most funny car, pro stock, and top fuel championships. Nobody else has built all those. They either focus on one or the other, and
right.
He did it across the board. Then he got involved in IndyCar, and the Machinist Union car was innovative, set all these records and stuff like that. And then, of course, as we know, he got into street rods and motorcycles and, just did so much innovation. So it was cool to see him. It was also pretty cool to see this line in his bio or in the press release that, and later in his career, designed parts in cooperation with such notables as Edelbrock, Harley Davidson, Bond Speed, and others. So that's pretty cool that we got recognized in there because John and I did do a lot of work together. We did not only things for hot rods and concept cars, but we even produced that line of billet aluminum collectible cars that he so famously said, Fanshawe, don't fucking sell more than 50 of these because I don't want to be whittling toys.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so
you talked about him quite a bit with Pete as well.
Yeah. And John was a character, an innovator. He was a mad scientist and just a really cool guy. And, you know, along with so many other greats, he's gone. But that's what was going on in the Motorsports Hall of Fame. And when I saw that he was in there, I was excited, and then I was even more excited when I saw that Bond Speed was mentioned. So that was pretty cool. But, hey, I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Got the Super Bowl coming up.
Yes.
And by the time this airs, it's probably over with, but what's the Super Bowl of American automotive events, in your opinion? Because nobody, you know, it's like, what's the Super Bowl? What's the, you know, it used to be definitively the Indy 500.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I mean, I remember when I was younger, and you probably remember how it was like, you couldn't turn anywhere. It was like the wide world of sports, you know, and now it's become so fragmented with social media and with, you know, TV not being the big three or even the big four. And, it doesn't seem like the Indy 500 is that big, iconic event. It is, but it's just the race. It's not leading up. I mean, it used to be for a couple weekends, you could tune in and watch qualifying. And
I would still say, too, I don't know if it's to fans or just to motorsports people, but I think Le Mans.
Is it, or is it the Daytona 500 now?
Well, here's the thing. It starts to break down to, like, what type of motorsport are you into? Because it's funny, because we say the Super Bowl of motorsports, but we don't say the World Series of motorsports. We don't say, because, like, I'm not really a football guy, but obviously I can resonate with the term the Super Bowl of motorsports, but, or the World Series of motorsports, or something along those lines. But, you know, right, like, what's the Super Bowl of drag racing? What's the Super Bowl of
Indy? Well, the Super Bowl of drag racing is easy.
Yeah.
That's only Indy. That's the, you know, the granddaddy. They call it the big show. But you're right. I mean, because it's not, but the Super Bowl has that iconic resonation that it's the Super Bowl. It's, you know, every other sport kind of, you know, hails to it. But
like, would you say what's the biggest sporting event with a ball?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I was leading, you know, up saying, to, like, I didn't do the research, but I wonder which motorsport actually captures the most eyeballs. Is it the Daytona 500, the Indy 500? We know it's not Le Mans, because there's lots of people you can walk up to on the street and go, hey, have you ever watched the Indy 500? Go, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, how about Daytona 500? Yeah, yeah. Le Mans. What's Le Mans? You know, I mean, they wouldn't even know. You know, where is that, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know who pulls the most eyeballs. I'm going to say probably NASCAR.
I'm going to say it's probably the Daytona 500 now. It used to be Indy, but Daytona, it's just on the tip of more tongues, more sponsors, more TV time, all of that.
Yeah, and somebody knows. Not us.
And you know, Dave Merrick from Man Seeks Adventure and our buddy, he, you know, he was just down at Le Mans with the Acura team.
He was at Daytona.
Excuse me, at Daytona. Thank you.
As a matter of fact, small world, our friend Robert Angelo that I shoot commercials with, and he was also there shooting everything for Acura.
Oh, really? Cool.
And it was his first time at the Daytona 500.
Oh, really?
I asked him, I was like, did you see our boy Dave Merrick? And he's like, I don't think I did. I was like,
the Daytona 24.
Yeah. 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 The 24 hours of Daytona. So he went there, and because it was his first time and they needed to document it and film it and all the whole thing, he said he was up for 30 hours straight, just 30 hours, because he just couldn't. It was just so much information. It was super exciting for him. He's like, we've got to get that. And, you know, like, where do we go to film this? Where to go? So now that he's got one under his belt, it's going to be easier to do. And he said it was so much fun, an exciting event. They had an Airbnb when it was done. He went there and slept for like 30 hours. He was like up for 30 hours, slept for 30 hours. And now I talked to him yesterday and he's back and he's editing the stuff. But he said, what a fantastic event to go and kind of get the behind the scenes look of it.
And the car did really, the NSX did great.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Well, they were running one and two. And then one of the cars lost an alternator. And so it had to go into the pits, dropped way back. And then the other car was just still running strong, running great. And Dave said it came to go around a back runner, you know, somebody way back in the pack. And the guy went wide and took out the car. So it had to come into the pits and get the body cladding fixed and everything. And he goes, eh, that sucked. And he goes, so we made 18 hours in before those two things. And he goes, so the next race is only 12 hours. So he goes, Sebring's 12 hours. He goes, so if we can do the same, we're good.
That's right. So, yeah. Right. Because Dave's thinking just about the pure endurance of it. Like,
yes,
he's
exactly.
Just like how are these cars going to perform and how, you know, are they going to live up to the full 24 hours?
Yeah, because so many cars come out, and in their very first appearance, they go out early because of some. They got to work out the bugs. And these cars were at the front of the pack and going strong. Of course, an alternator. Doesn't matter if it's an alternator or a motor. Yeah. If it goes out, it goes out. But the other guy, he said it was really sucky because it totally wasn't the driver's fault. He went to go around him, and the back runner went wide and smacked him. You know, didn't see him. And so,
do we have the results?
I don't have them, don't you?
No, we don't have them.
That was your job to bring the results. Well, you can look them up on your little device that came from the future there. And while you do, hey, what do you know about that Bullet Mustang that they showed with the release of the newly announced Bullet Mustang? The one that was found that had been lost for all these years.
Yeah, I don't know that this is that one.
But come on, they're saying it is. They're saying it's the one Ford looked for years.
No, I thought the one that they showed at the auto show was the one where this guy who owns it, his dad had it. And his dad was like, I have the Bullet Mustang. And his dad was like famous for like not sharing it ever, not letting people see it. Like he's always just had it like in a barn or his warehouse or whatever he had. And now I think the guy is gone and the kid who's an adult is like, yeah, maybe we could show it around a little bit.
Yeah, but they brought it out. What's the one that was at the auto show?
This is the one that I'm talking about. I think this family owned it and never showed it. But there's another one like from the movie or something, or the main one from the movie was like found in Mexico and
right. I heard about that.
And I think the Marty Report guys are trying to get involved to authenticate the car. And I think it all happened, and it does. I don't really know who owns it, and I don't think it's that car. I could be confusing the stories, but I thought the one that was found in Mexico like a year ago.
I remember that car.
Is different than the one that was shown. The one that was shown.
But this has, so who knows? I mean, it could be another stunt car. But Ford has a real history of losing shit. I mean, you know, here's this iconic car. It's going to be so fun. Nobody ever looks to the future and goes, yeah, maybe we should stuff that away in a warehouse somewhere or something. And,
it's funny is because there's a bunch of cars in like the 80s and 90s, and, you know, Mustangs and things like that. Like they did an SN95 Mustang with a Boss 429 engine in it, and Ford, you know, brought that around and showed that off. I was like, that car is cool. And then I saw another one. Turns out Roush has them all, because Roush is probably the one who built them
for him. Yeah, and then they just went back to...
They're all in Jack Roush's collection. Yeah. And that dude's so busy that nobody really, like, you kind of forget that there's the Roush collection.
Yeah.
And so when I went up there and I saw it, I was like, oh, I remember that. Ooh, look at that one. Ooh, look at that one. I was in Fox Body Mustang Heaven.
Yeah.
Of course, he has a bunch of other stuff. There was a bunch of those cars that you and I have seen during that era in the 80s and 90s that Roush has them all.
Yeah. And someday, you know, it'll be like, you know, either in a museum or they'll go across the auction block. Who knows? But
he has a Paul Newman Roush Mustang. When Paul Newman did the movie Nobody's Fool, he raced a Roush Mustang, like against Tommy Kendall and stuff in the day, like kind of sort of that era. And Roush has the Mustang there. And I reached out. I was like,
you
want to sell that thing?
You know, Adam could use another Paul Newman car.
And then for a minute, they're like, oh, we don't really drive it or anything. So it'd be nice to see it on a racetrack, go to Monterey or something. I was like, you sell it to us. We promise to race it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, we don't really need to sell it. It's like, I know you don't need to sell it. I get it. I get you don't need to sell it looking around.
Yeah.
But
Jack, you don't need to sell it. Yeah. I mean, it's like, but you should.
Yeah.
So
listen, Roush guys, when you're ready to sell that car, give us a call.
No, give me a call. I'll buy it, and then I'll sell it to them.
So, oh, you're going to Elon Musk it, though. You'll be like, sell me the car now, Roush, and I'll pay you in a year from now after I sell it to
Corolla. So, hey, but along that same lines, I read this interesting article about the another lost item from Ford.
Yeah.
And it was the Ford Punch Bowl.
Oh.
Are you familiar with that?
No, what is that?
Of course you're not. Nobody is.
Nobody is.
It was just a cut crystal punch bowl, just like you'd think, that had its crystal glasses and you know, the whole, it was just a punch bowl set. And apparently, they call it the punch bowl that got Ford started. Because back when Henry Ford won that original race, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't know the whole history of Ford, where he was part of Detroit Motors. It went, you know, basically failed in 1901, and he got some investors and said, you know, and there was this big race that was supposed to, like, you know, show who was building the best car.
Yeah.
And there was this other guy who they said, yeah, this guy's gonna win it, no problem. And a bunch of guys didn't show up because they couldn't get their cars done. Well, Ford showed up with a car. He ended up winning the race by about, you know, like a half a car length. And the prize was $1,000 cash and this crystal punch bowl. Hmm. Well, one of the most interesting facts is, you know, wow, $1,000, who cares? Well, no, $1,000, they
sounds
said.
Sounds like a lot of money back then.
Well, it's the equivalent of $858,000 today. So it was pretty substantial. Gave him the money to get Ford started. And he kept that punch bowl because it was what basically gave him the seed money, that and some investors to get going. And I might have some of the facts. I know there was other dealings and things like that. But this punch bowl was iconic. So iconic that when he died and then his wife died in 1950, that the Ford family just auctioned it off with a bunch of his other stuff, you know. I mean, it's like, so, you know, it, to him it was so special, and they were like, yeah, yeah, just auction it off. Some place in New York bought it. Well, that place subsequently went bankrupt and closed,
okay.
And nobody knows what happened to this thing. And from time to time, the Ford family is put out like a thing. Hey, we're, I guess back in 2011, they really hired some PR companies, put out photos of it. It never materialized.
Really?
Well, now that's what brought up the whole Bullet Mustang thing, was that I read that they had been trying to find this Bullet Mustang, and now that they found it, now they want to find that punch bowl again,
yeah,
if it still exists, you know, because it might have got shattered or something.
Right.
But they said that when it sold at auction in 1950, it sold for $70.
Yeah.
And they said that they're probably going to have to pay a lot more for it if it's found. But the whole thing is that I don't know how they're going to identify it, because they said it's not engraved. It's not like for the winner of this. It was just a punch bowl. They know who made it. They know what it looks like. They have photos of it. But it could be sitting in your mom's curio cabinet.
Here's the thing is, probably not a lot of other people have photos of it, because Ford has done the research to get the photos.
Well, they've been putting it out. So,
yeah.
I mean, whoever made that crystal one, did they only make one? Or was it like...
Yeah, there was only one race?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there might have only been one race, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, if Tiffany made a punch bowl, because Tiffany was a choice of a lot of trophies and stuff, did they only make one punch bowl, or was it like a very expensive punch bowl that was made and they said, this will be something cool to give away as a trophy? But why didn't they engrave it? Why didn't they put to the winner or something?
Well, here's the thing. If there's more than one punch bowl, there could be some people. Why wouldn't other people go in, hey, we have one just like it. I don't know if it's the Ford one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. You know?
But you're saying nobody has spoken up.
Nobody's spoken up. So I wonder.
Yeah.
And how will they identify it? You know,
yeah,
does it have Henry's DNA on it? Or, you know,
or
is it,
punch.
Or, you know, the one thing could be is that in the bottom, you know, back then when things were handmade, it might have like an engraver's signature or a lot number or something like that.
Well, there could be some imperfections on it as well. That
yeah, I mean, there could be something that will identify it.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know, there's got to be some kind of identification on it that, you know, they're able to do. But
yeah, maybe some imperfections or something, like I was saying, in the way it was done. Because if they were hand-done, there's got to be some things. And maybe there's a way to, like, find an old photo that Ford has that, you know, like they may have the
shows. There was a chip right here. Yeah, there was
something
a,
that they kind of zoom in and scan really high, super high res. And
so go online, look at the photos, and if grandma has a punch bowl that she bought at some yard sale or something or a state sale,
what I'm saying, there's
you could have a $100,000 Ford punch bowl, man.
Like, Granny's sitting on the awesome punch bowl, and it's full of, like, hard candies that nobody wants.
Either that or it's, like, it's in some frat house somewhere, and guys just throw ice cubes in it, put their beer bottles in it, and they're, you know, it's or some guy went, what's this old thing, and gave it to Goodwill.
Yeah.
So you never know. You never know.
Let me tell you about this this deal we got going on with Amsoil again. We've been talking about this for a while. This seems like such a good deal. This is a trip to the Indy 500 from Amsoil. It's not just any trip, but it's the ultimate Indy 500 fan experience. And that's exactly what Amsoil, maker of some of the best synthetic motor oils on the planet, is giving away this spring. One grand prize winner, not Brad, but one grand prize winner, will win a trip of a lifetime to the Indy 500 to watch some of the fastest cars and best drivers battle to have their names etched alongside the greats like Foyt, Andretti, Unser, and Castroneves. But that's not all. Listen to what else awaits the grand prize winner.
But not me, you said.
Yeah, any winner except Brad or Aaron, because he's not here.
Or Matt.
We're still negotiating.
Well, we might have to go and host the winners. That's what we've got to do.
This could arguably be the Super Bowl of motorsports.
It could, especially if we show up.
And you're going to get pit access. You're going to get dinner with an Indy 500 legend. You're going to get VIP track access, suite access to watch the race, $1,000 in cash. Round trip,
which is worth $858,000,
yeah,
right?
Apparently, round trip airfare for two people to and from Indy, hotel accommodations for 5 nights at a hotel near the speedway. You're going to get ground transportation to and from the airport, hotel, and the speedway. It's all taken care of for you. You get a chance to meet a bunch of the drivers as well. It's a fantastic thing. I'd love to go. I have not gone to the Indy 500. I don't know why. Probably because it's...
You're un-American.
Is it cold? When
no,
is it?
It's not cold. It's on Memorial Day, man. Come on. Is it cold?
I feel like everything is cold up
there. It could be rainy. Could be
okay,
rainy.
Could be rainy.
But...
Well, look, just like they do when making high-performance synthetic motor oils, Amsoil went the extra mile with this sweepstakes. If that's not enough, 10 first-place winners, again, not Brad.
Or Matt or Aaron.
10 first-place winners will receive one free digital download code for Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game. I'm kind of looking forward to that. I think that's going to be cool. So to enter...
Can you handle the triples?
We'll try. To enter the Amsoil Ultimate Indy 500 fan experience, text Indy to 41487. That's Indy, I-N-D-Y, to 41487. Or just visit amsoil.com/Indy.
I'd say they went more than the extra mile. They went the extra 500 miles.
Yeah.
So, no, that is a great prize, though, because usually, like we talked about last week, it's usually like, you know, hey, they fly you there, you show up for the race, you go home the next day, and I mean, it's multiple days, $1,000 cash. Think if you were like an IndyCar racer from 1901, and you came forward in time, and they said, we're going to give you $1,000 cash, the guy'd be like, well, I'm almost a millionaire. And then it'd be like, and we're going to let you sit down with Indy legends, and the guy'd be like, but the Indy 500's only been going on for 2 years.
Yeah.
So,
well, it looks like it's a good deal. And because they're taking care of all your transportation and accommodations and hotel and travel, $1,000 goes a lot longer, that goes further than you think.
When you don't have to pay for everything.
Don't have to pay for
that's
everything,
right. Yeah. And when somebody's buying you dinner, because I don't think that they're going to make you go to dinner with an Indy racing legend and then go, oh, here's the check.
Here's the check, right.
But what? Yeah. Well, you got $1,000? Come on, you're buying.
Yeah, they're taking the crew van to In-N-Out.
It'll be a hot dog over in the pits. But
yeah.
No, it's such a spectacle, and it's such a cool thing because, you know, everybody wants to go. Everybody wants to hang out and be down in the hot pits. And if you get to hang with a legend, why not? Go for it.
So as you're listening to this, a new exhibit exhibit opened at the Peterson Automotive Museum.
All about Porsches, I bet, huh?
All about Porsches. And that's going to run for like a year or something. So you're planning your LA trip or something like that. Definitely check it out. They have an awesome collection of Porsches there, Porsche race cars. And then the vault, like you've been down to the vault tour, right?
Yep.
Well, they sort of sectioned off one area of the vault, and they brought in 20 Porsches for just that area. So the museum itself has some pretty cool rides in it. And then
are they calling it the Pult?
No, they're not. They don't have your sense of humor.
They should. They should.
They
could call it the Vault.
Last night.
You will go to the Vault.
Last night was kind of like a press preview in a VIP opening.
Tommy Kendall got a hold of me and said, hey,
are you going?
Going to this thing and everything. And I was like, I didn't know about it until I saw your YouTube video. And, he wasn't talking directly to me?
No, I don't think he was directly to you.
Thought he was
Tommy Kendall moderated a panel that they had as well. And it was Chad McQueen and Patrick Dempsey and a couple of other people it was fun. Chad McQueen.
Why does Chad McQueen come to all these things? He's never like really raced cars or.
No, and I get it.
I don't get it because it's like,
of all, he seemed a little worn down. And
that's because he was at Bear Jackson with the bullet Mustang.
it's got to be like, I don't know. It's got to be a little tough to, in life that every conversation you ever had, you start it with my dad, or somebody starts it with your dad.
Yeah.
Like, right? Because that's what he's got. Everybody was there dressed up and, sport coats and all that stuff. And Chad McQueen he was in like a tracksuit with sunglasses or something. And on the panel up there, I'm standing
He looked back. Like an Armenian mafia guy from Glendale.
Like, he really didn't fit in. It was very funny. He's a sweet guy, right? But he didn't really fit in, He didn't meet the dress code.
Yeah.
And he's sitting up there with the glasses on, but like the big like Carrera glasses or something that he had. And Adam was like, is that Chad McQueen up there? And Adam had known him too. I was like, he's like, with the sunglasses? And I said, you've heard me say this a million times. I was like, yeah. There's only two types of people that wear sunglasses inside. Blind people and assholes.
Now, come on. Rock stars fall into that category.
Rock
stars. Podcasters.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. As long as they have blue lenses, you're good.
Anyway, it was a good – that's right. You have the blue lenses, don't
yes,
you?
Yes.
It was a good event. So what's just funny is we got an email from the Peterson. We love those guys over there. Their curator, Leslie Kendall, is such a good dude, smart guy. And he sends me an email.
I don't ever get invited to anything. Well, I know
no,
Leslie.
No, of course,
I've known him
happened.
Since the beginning, and it's all right, you guys over at the Peterson. Don't worry about me. I was only one of the original sponsors of the museum. I've only supported it, for years.
This wasn't but then when it got
redone, I haven't been invited to anything except for Pete's thing that I moderated.
Yeah, that's a hot rod event.
It doesn't have to be just hot. I'm not just a hot rod
guy. They think you're the hot rod guy.
But I don't even get invited to the hot rod thing. So the hot rod thing, because I was moderating it. So that's all right. It's all right. The Peterson's dead to me.
Really? Because it's a really nice museum. So I got the email from Leslie. He's like, hey, we're putting on this really cool Porsche exhibit. We'd love to show the Paul Newman 935.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that sounds exciting. Yeah, we're certainly interested. And he's like, great. We're going to make arrangements to display the car, prominent area. You're going to love it. I said, okay. This is two emails around with no dates. And I was kind of like waiting for the date. So finally, I write back and I go, okay.
When do you need this car?
I was like, how long do you need the car for? And he said, this is the good news. Only 1 year. And I was like, no, we just signed the car up for Monterey and Rennsport to race it at both events. I'm like, no, we can't do that. And I said, look, we'd love to do this with you guys, but we can't do it. And then like a week goes by and he goes, I've got a new idea.
How about just for like a
How
limited
about just
appearance?
One night?
Yeah.
How about just for the opening night? We'll put it in the Bruce Meyer gallery where the panel is and we'll show it there. How about that? And I was like, okay, we could do that. So they picked up the car on Wednesday. The event was Thursday night. And the car's being brought home today, Friday.
Can't you just drive it over? I mean, come on.
Yeah, Bruce Meyer can, apparently.
I know. Did you see that? He could roll down Rodeo in his. No problem.
For years because he owns all the real estate.
Because he owns everything. You know, the police go, oh, that's Bruce. Don't bother him, man, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just to be able to, like, oh, I got to take my car to the museum. I'll drive it. It's fine.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Fine. It's only the Whittington brothers, Le Mans winning night.
Exactly.
Which was also there, and it looked great. So it's a cool event. They kind of reconfigured the bottom floor.
I wouldn't know. I haven't been there, so
I don't know how permanent. I can't tell like what's permanent, what's not permanent. For the Porsche exhibit beyond that event last night. But it looks like it's going to be great. You know what? I'll get you on a list. You can come with me, Brad.
I can be your plus one.
Yeah, you can be my plus one. Yeah. So. I'll call over there and be like, hey, we want to come to the museum. I'm going to bring a friend.
Yeah. And they'll go, yeah.
What's his name? What's plus one.
Brad Fanshawe. Oh, no, we don't want him.
No.
We don't want, you know, we really just don't want that guy in here.
He said, Adam wanted to go. He's like, let's go and let's check it out. And
was he there more than 20 minutes?
Yes.
Wow.
I honestly, like, I was prepping the people, like, at Porsche and stuff. I'm like, we'll get there about 5:30 and leave about 6:15. And now he wrote it out, stayed for the panel, and wanted to see the cars. And everybody was there, Brad.
Everybody but me, apparently. I mean, you know, not one event. Not one event. That's all right.
Everybody was there.
So that's right, Leslie Kendall.
Yeah. So. To be fair, I don't think he was in charge of invitations.
It was probably the guys over at Con Media or something like that.
They were there, but no, it wasn't them either. This came from the museum. There's some new people.
I must just be on a list, but it must be black. Yeah, don't ever invite any of these guys ever again because, you know, it's just...
Yeah. To be fair, your picture is up in their office.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
So that's
security office.
Yeah, so that's
it's like yeah.
The whole night.
This guy used to come here every single Thursday to do his radio show upstairs.
The whole night, Adam was getting yelled at by one of the security women.
You know, what?
The lady that was there. And like we
quit being funny.
We got out on the second floor. She's like, this floor is closed. It's not open yet. And it opened and it's supposed to open in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then so we get back in the elevator. We go upstairs. We get in the elevator. Terry Cargis is with me. He's executive director of the museum. We go back down. This is 3 minutes, by the way. The door's open, and he's like, looks open to me. And we walk in. I was like, why did she send us in the elevator?
I know.
Why couldn't she say, hey, give me 3 more minutes, and I'll get you in, and we'll be open. Give me 3 more minutes, and you'll be fine. By the way, this isn't like 100 people off the street. This was like all of their VIPs and their donors and their celebrities that were there. And
she has one job, Matt.
Yeah, and
that's
boy,
her
did
job.
She do it.
Yes.
And then we're looking at the motorcycles that are there, and you know, we're a few cocktails in there. We're looking at some of the details. I'm talking to Adam about it, and Adam kind of puts his finger up for a second.
Oh, you can't touch the stuff? What's wrong? That's a museum rule.
And then she comes running over.
I knew you were a troublemaker.
And she's like, don't touch the exhibit. And I was like, oh, I was just pointing for reference. She goes, he touched it. And I was like, oh, troublemaker. And then they had the Bruce
his
Meyer
face
gallery,
is gonna be up next to mine.
The Bruce Meyer gallery had like the Ferraris on the podium, so what they do is they push them into the corner and they have black curtains, you know, so they can get all the seats in there.
You didn't look through the curtains, did you?
And
oh my god.
And so somebody comes over, this guy Tommy that we know is this Trans Am racer guy, and he goes, man, did you see the Ferrari behind the curtain? And he's got a picture on his phone. And Adam's like, oh, that's nice. I'm going to just take a peek. He goes, just a peek. She comes running over. She's like, sir, you can't. She grabs the curtains and closes them. And he's like, I'm just going to peek. And she's like, no!
The only thing better would have been like if we would have opened the curtain, she would have been standing there. You don't get to look behind the curtain.
Punched her right in the face. Just punched her right in the nose. But she was so like holding the curtains and like wrapping herself. She's like, no,
she
don't look.
She takes her
don't
job
look.
Seriously.
Like there was some, like the Wizard of Oz was back there. Like, it was like, so what we can't see is the car that's on display the other 364 days a year. Like, we just want to peek in to see.
You're
the
not
car.
Here on one of those days. What is going to induce you to buy a ticket to come back if you get to see it today?
And I know, like, she was just stalking us the whole night. They're like, those are the rule breakers. She's like, that Corolla is a pain in the ass. And
what Adam should have done is gone, excuse me, I have a stalker. Could you do something about it?
And I'm telling you, like, there was, like, the eye in the sky, and she had the earpiece. She's like, I'm on it. I know who it is. It's fucking Corolla.
It's Corolla. That son of a bitch. He's always breaking the rules.
It was hilarious. We're like, Jesus. Like, what's going on here?
It's awesome.
So please go to the museum. You're going to love it. Just don't touch anything.
And don't mention my name.
Yeah.
Don't say, hey, I'm friends with Brad Fisher, because they'll probably kick your ass out.
Probably don't mention Corolla's name either at this point, because they're probably going to invite Brad now and not Corolla.
They're probably going to go, hey, Brad, you know, we understand that you don't touch. So, you know.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
You know what they're going to hear? They're going to hear I'm out of touch. So they'll just let me, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, everybody. You've been listening to the newest, bestest edition of Shift and Stare.
Yeah, you know what's coming up. I'm going to tell you.
And you know what?
You asked Brad.
I'm going to remind you about something. Something that we haven't reminded you in a long time, but you got to go and subscribe on iTunes. We want you to do that. It does help us. I was on there the other day for the first time in a long time. There were some new comments, and we appreciate that, but it's been a while. Come on. We need some comments. We need some subscriptions. You know, help us pop back up there. You know, I think we're down like 592 in the ratings or something. And I'm just guessing because they only go to 200. But we're up near the top. But we used to be in the top 10. And now we're down near like Carcast, down like in 25 or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's a disaster.
Have you been on there lately? There's all these new young kids that are, you know, taking over all the top spots, and we got to take it back, man.
Yeah.
We got to take it back. I can't even remember who's number two right now, but it's somebody who's not worthy. I know that, because if it's not Carcast or Shift and Steer, they shouldn't be up there.
So please, and tell a friend, post it up on your social media or something. It's hopefully you enjoyed the show. You know, coming up soon out here is the Winter Nationals. We got some NHRA drag racing coming.
Bring
up.
Your camera!
So we've got, I've got Ron Capps coming into the studio on CarCast, and next week here in the Bond Speed studio.
That's right.
We're going to have Jeg Coughlin Jr. coming out.
Jeggy's coming in.
Talking a little bit about drag racing as well.
A little bit. And we're going to have a special guest to come in to give us the facts on Jeggy.
Yeah?
Yes, I've already arranged it.
Okay. He's going to talk a lot about yellow, the color yellow.
Yes.
Their love of yellow.
And
how everything in Jeg's is yellow.
And I have visited their place out in a cornfield.
Yeah.
And, dude, seriously, it's amazing. And we'll talk about it on the show, because all of their picking of parts is robotic, and it's just, like, blew me away.
Are the robots yellow?
No, they're not. But I also have a funny story about Rick, who works here.
Yeah, and I hear him yapping on the phone.
Yeah, I know. And when he went to Jeg's with me. So
okay, next week.
Next week, right here, same place, same station.
Time. Same.
Not same time. It's whenever they want to listen to it.
Yeah.
Hey, but it's Shift and Steer. I'm Brad Fanshawe.
I'm Matt DeAndrea.
Hey, check us out. Tell your friends about us. And, you know, maybe one of these days the Peterson will let me come back.
Maybe.
They'll invite me again.
They're all so good. They're nice. They'll get so, with.
You know, it's going to happen. I know.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Talk to you later.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.